Good morning, everyone. As President Obama wanders into the Oval Office this morning, I suspect he's been there for a while on this first official day of his presidency, official full day of his presidency. What are the models for dealing with his colleagues at the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue? Is it a bully pulpit kind of thing that Teddy Roosevelt and Ronald Reagan did so effectively in dealing with legislators? Is it an attempt to try to go over Congress and use public opinion to sway them, as Bill Clinton did unsuccessfully? Or is it a murky behind-the-scenes combination that Lyndon Johnson did very, very effectively in the 1960s to get broad legislative initiatives passed? Well, there are many options for Barack Obama, and here to talk about what the landscape must look like to him this morning is David Hertzenhorn, reporter for the New York Times. He joins us from Washington. What do you think the executive-legislative relationship is going to look like, David?
Well, good morning. It's going to be fascinating. I think you're hitting the right history when you point to the Johnson administration, partly because no administration in recent history has come in with such deep knowledge of Congress and how Congress works, not just because President Obama served as a senator, albeit for less than one term, but, of course, Vice President Biden has been a senator for decades. And so they have a lot of friends on Capitol Hill. They know how the place works. Now, what's interesting is they also know that that means to get things done effectively, you do need to use the White House as a bully pulpit and sometimes, you know, push really hard, cajole and convince and pressure when necessary.
What are the early signs that legislators, and particularly in the Senate, you use the example of the Senate, are likely to use aspects of complex aspects of, say, the stimulus package or the situation in Iraq to grandstand and slow things down and make this relationship not as smooth as it might be?
Look, there's a division of powers, right? The Congress clearly views itself as the Constitution provides, as a co-equal branch of government. So they're not about to bow over even to a friend in the White House. And with the Democrats controlling both the Senate and the House, clearly Obama has a number of friends in both chambers. That doesn't mean that folks won't work very hard to make their policy points known, to make their agenda known, and so he'll be working closely. He already is on the economic stimulus, for instance, with both the House and the Senate, and has reached out to Republicans, although they haven't been brought in quite as much as they'd like just yet. So it's about to get really busy on our end of Pennsylvania Avenue.
Let's look at the House for a moment. The ascendancy of Henry Waxman from California, does that mean that a sort of Waxman program will be shadowing Barack Obama as he begins his administration, initiatives like maybe more serious regulation on things like tobacco?
Well, I think what it assures is that he won't be shadowed by a John Dingell program, which had been trouble for some congressional Democrats. Obviously, Mr. Dingell, the most senior member of the House, a powerful lawmaker from Michigan who was a strong ally of the Detroit auto industry. So with Congressman Waxman now in charge of that committee, what I think you'll see is a very powerful partnership between the Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, fellow Californian, and an array of other Democrats who are very intent on making that energy committee a place to focus on climate change and global warming, on, you know, a host of energy issues, you know, foreign oil dependence, et cetera. So I think what you're seeing is in many quarters, and, you know, sort of the preparations for a very, very aggressive, busy agenda.
And let's talk about foreign affairs for a moment. There was a lot of discussion during the campaign about the withdrawal from Iraq, the ending of the war. Do you see Congress and Barack Obama seeing eye to eye on the Iraq conflict and possibly even Afghanistan?
I don't think there's any question about that. President Obama, during the campaign, you know, was clearly articulating what had become the mainstream Democratic view on the Hill: the need for a withdrawal from Iraq, for a renewed focus on Afghanistan and the war on terror. If anything, you know, his perspective may change now that he's the commander in chief, now that he's responsible for the troops that are on the ground in the most direct way. You know, that's where I would be looking to see some adjustments. But the Democrats are pretty clear in Congress about what they'd like to see, which is, you know, a slow, steady withdrawal from Iraq and a shift in focus.
And, of course, this week the first order of business is all of the cabinet secretaries and the nominations that need to be advised on and consented to by the Senate. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But, David Herzenhorn, thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be with you.
Talking about the broad legislative agenda as Barack Obama takes office, David Herzenhorn, reporter for The New York Times.
And right there at the top of his agenda, of course, is the economy.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.